Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you from Africa. And we love the Lord Jesus. We love to share His Word. We love to talk about Him and the blessed hope, the hope that does not disappoint. And so today we're going to be talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, which is a story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25. And I believe this parable pertains to the coming rapture. And I know there are lots of differing opinions about the rapture. Some people don't believe that there's going to be a rapture. Some people discount it totally. And others have sort of a belief in it, but they have a ho-hum attitude about it, and they really can't get too excited about it. But I believe that it's going to happen. I believe the scripture teaches about it, and I believe that we need to be ready. And Jesus said, be ready. Nobody knows the day or the hour, Jesus said, except the Father. And the Father is going to someday tell His Son to go down and gather up the church. And He's going to gather up those who believe and those who have come to know the Lord and have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He's going to gather them up and take them back to heaven with Him. And He's going to rapture the saints out of here before the tribulation, the seven-year great tribulation, which will be the culmination of all things here on this earth before the Lord comes back the second time to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. So I've said a lot there just to say this: be ready. If you know the Lord Jesus, you are in a good place. If you have already accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you are in a good place. If you have a knowledge and a saving knowledge and a repentance about your life and live a life of repentance, a life of gratitude for what the Lord has done for you, you are in a good place and you are ready for the rapture. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus, you need to come to a place of acknowledging your sin, come to a place of accepting the fact that you have sin in your life, that you cannot be reconciled back to your Creator without this sin being paid for, without this sin being ransomed. And the good news, beloved, is that this sin has been ransomed, it has been paid for. Jesus' blood that He shed on the cross and shed at the whipping post and other places, He has paid for the sin. And so all you have to do is get down on your knees and say, Jesus, I want to accept You. I want to receive You into my heart. I want to know You as Lord and Savior. And I ask You to come into my heart, save me. And when Jesus hears you say that, when He sees your heart, it's all about your heart, beloved. When He sees your heart, then He will touch you, He will save you, He will send the Holy Spirit to you. You follow all that up with immersion baptism, and you will have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be saved, and you will be saved for all eternity. And the Lord will rejoice along with the angels in heaven, because it says when one sinner repents and comes to the Lord, that all the angels in heaven then rejoice. So we're going to look at the parable of the 10 virgins. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew chapter 25. This is a very important teaching. It has many different aspects to it. And so we're going to just take it verse by verse here. The first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 25 have to do with the rapture of the church. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. Well, let me just stop right there and say there's many interpretations about even just these first four verses. Some people think the oil in the lamps represents the Holy Spirit. Some people think it represents your salvation experience, but I'm believing that all of these 10 virgins represent the church. Some are wise, some are foolish, and that's pretty much an indication or a representation, I would say, of what goes on in most churches. There's a good portion of people that are very zealous for the Lord. They study their Bibles, they pray, they're faithful, and they have faith to believe whatever the Lord wants to do in their life. They have faith to believe what He wants to do in their church, in their community. And then there's a certain portion of the people in the body of Christ who are not really what you would say wise. They're not really watching and praying. They're just along for the ride. They might be saved. They might be in a backslidden condition, but they really don't have the zeal and the passion to get out there and serve the Lord and to look for what the Lord is doing in their life and in their church and community. And so we have here half who are wise, half who are foolish. But I believe for my own interpretation, the oil just represents oil. That's all. It's not representative of the Holy Spirit. It's just symbolizing that they are ready with the oil, and some had the oil and some didn't, and some were ready and others weren't. And so in verse 5, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Well, this is the place where the bridegroom is introduced. The bridegroom is, of course, Jesus Christ. He has gone on ahead of us. He has gone on to prepare a place for us. And so the bridegroom is up in heaven. That is Jesus Christ. And we, the body of Christ, we are His beloved. We are His bride. And so He has gone to prepare a place for us. And He will come back to receive us to Himself. And He talks about this in John chapter 14, verse 1. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And so Jesus told the disciples when He was getting ready to be crucified, when He was getting ready to go to the cross, He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going there, and in My Father's house are many mansions." Well, beloved, those mansions are going to be the homes for you and I when we get to heaven. That's where we're going to live, because we're going to need a place to live. And so these mansions are being prepared right this very day by the angels in heaven under the direction of Jesus and the direction of the Father God. And so there seems to be a delay in Jesus coming back. There seems to be a delay in Him coming to receive the church. And I should also note here that this is a picture of a Jewish wedding, a traditional Orthodox Jewish wedding. The bride and the bridegroom make a contract, or they make an agreement that is actually a signed betrothal agreement. And then the bridegroom goes to the Father's house, and He prepares a place for the bride and the bridegroom to go live with the Father in the Father's compound at the time when the marriage then is consummated. But before He goes to pick up the bride, He prepares the place in the Father's house, and the bride, she doesn't know when He's going to come to get her. She doesn't know. She just knows that He's coming. And so she waits in anticipation. She waits in preparation. And she keeps herself ready. She keeps herself on the alert. She keeps herself in a place where the moment the bridegroom shows up, she's ready to be swept off her feet and taken to the house of the Father. And the bride and the bridegroom then have the marriage, and they consummate the marriage. And so this parable is a picture, or you might say that the traditional Jewish wedding is the earthly picture of this parable, and also of the return of Jesus Christ to snatch the bride away, to come and get the bride and take the bride to heaven with Him to participate or to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So in verse 5, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So even the wise ones were slumbering, and the foolish ones were slumbering. Everybody was asleep. It was getting late. It was the midnight hour, and so they were all sleeping. And then at close to midnight, or at midnight, it says in verse 6, it says, at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Well, beloved, I believe we are close to the midnight hour in terms of the time clock of all end time events. I believe we're close to the midnight hour. We're very close. We're past 11 p.m. We're past 11:30 p.m. The events that we see taking place on the earth, signs and wonders, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, the love of many will grow cold. People are murdering each other. People are doing despicable acts towards each other. There is a definite turn of events in terms of the end time events, of the way people treat each other. And you've seen the viciousness that comes out in political scenarios. You see the viciousness that comes out in the way people treat each other in the inner cities and places like that. And so we have a mandate to stay awake. We have a mandate to be ready. Watch and pray, Jesus said. And we also have a mandate to be busy and to occupy and be busy about the kingdom of God. And so in verse 6, at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold the bridegroom, and he is coming, and so go out to meet him." It said then that all the virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And verse 8, the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go and gather for yourselves, go to those who sell, and buy for yourselves oil for your own lamp." Well, beloved, it's pretty obvious to me here in Africa that the church is sleeping. I'm sure I've been in many, many churches here in Africa. I've preached in churches in six countries here in Africa, and I've been in churches all over America preaching, and I would say that many, many are sleeping. Many are not ready. Many are just slumbering while they're sitting in the church pew. They have no desire to get out and share the gospel. They have no desire to take the good news to their neighbors. They have no desire to go to the mission field. And so there is a slumbering in the church. Jesus predicted that. They're all slumbering. And so this is what we see in the end time scenario. And so if I can encourage you in some way today, if I can encourage you, it would be to do this. Find something to do if you are a believer. If you love Jesus and you know that he is coming back and you are in anticipation of him coming back, find something to do in the kingdom that gathers for the kingdom of God. There are so many harvest fields out there that are ripe for harvest. There are so many harvest fields out there. I have 3,000 and some friends on my Facebook account, and I get messages every day from every country, just about, well, not every country, but countries all over Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Malawi. I get messages from pastors, "Come, come, we need you to preach. We need you to preach." Well, of course, I can't go to all these places because it takes a lot of money. And they always expect me to pay for the crusade or pay for the revival. But the point is this. I get messages from Pakistan. I get messages from India. I get messages from all over Africa, from America, Mexico, people wanting me to come preach. And I can't physically get to those places. There's no way that I can get to all of them. But what I'm saying to you is this. Find something to do in the kingdom. Find a place in the kingdom where you can gather for the kingdom of God, where you can get out and take the good news of the gospel. The harvest is ripe, Jesus said. The harvest is ripe. Pray then, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth workers into the harvest, because the harvest is ripe. And so he's depending on us. Yes, God could in some way, I suppose, save all the people that he wants to save, but that isn't the way the kingdom works. He depends on us. He wants us to go into the harvest field. He inspires us to go into the harvest field. He gives us the provision to go into the harvest field. And so I would admonish you and encourage you to go out and find a harvest. Work with the youth in your town. Work with the homeless in your city. work with the soup kitchens, work with the evangelists, work with the pastors, find something to do in the harvest and get busy and get the harvest going for yourself and for the kingdom of God. So the wise have told the foolish virgins, go look for your own oil. We don't want to share ours, because if we run out, then we're not going to be able to see what's going on. And so the foolish in verse 10, and while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came at that very moment. They had left and they were out in the town. They were looking for oil. Well, maybe the shop that they got to didn't have any oil, and maybe the neighbor that they went to didn't have any oil, and they were just searching. The point is this: they were not ready. They were not ready. And so when they went out to buy, the bridegroom came at that very time, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And so the foolish virgins, they said what many people say today. You know, when you talk about the rapture, you talk about the second coming of Jesus, or even just salvation and a knowledge of Jesus, many people say, well, you know, preachers have been saying that for 2,000 years, and they've been saying Jesus is going to come back. They've been saying that there's going to be some kind of a catching away or some kind of a rapture. They've been saying that. But when I look around and see what's going on in the world, I don't see anything different. It's the same as it's always been. People are giving in marriage, and people are marrying, and people are burying the dead, and people are having ball games, and they're having entertainment, and everything looks the same as it was many, many years ago. And so there's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of conviction. And so the people then, they get careless, they get callous, they slip away from the kingdom, they backslide. After a while, they have no time to pray. After a while, they have no time to read their Bible. After a while, they get to the point where they don't even want to go to church. They don't want to set foot in the church because they're convicted of their slovenly, procrastinating condition, and so they have no desire to go to the church. They have no desire to repent or ask the Lord to forgive them. And so they're in that situation where these foolish virgins, and they're knocking on the door after Jesus has taken the wise virgins who had the oil in their lamp. They're knocking on the door and they're saying, Jesus, Jesus, take us, Jesus, Jesus. Well, I don't believe they're necessarily condemned to eternal condemnation or to hell. I don't believe they're necessarily condemned to that. Jesus just said, I do not know you. Well, that may be an indication that they are condemned. I don't know. Maybe they are condemned for all eternity. He just said, I do not know you, which could also mean to me that they are not going in the rapture, that they are going to be left here for the tribulation, and they will have to go through the 7-year great tribulation, which will be a time of great turmoil, a time of great torment, and a time of great suffering here on the earth for those who are left here and who do not participate in the rapture. Well, is it important to believe in the rapture? I believe it is, because everything in the Christian faith is obtained by faith. And God rewards faith. He rewards when you believe in things that he speaks about in his word. He rewards when you believe in things that he shows you through your own eyes, through your own experiences. When you believe in God, when you experience the kingdom of God, you are rewarded when you step out in faith and believe for those things to happen in your life and expect those things to happen in your life. And so I believe that it is important to have a faith in the rapture. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so God wants you to diligently seek him. He wants to reward you. He wants to bless you. But you must exercise your faith than to be in favor in the kingdom of God. Well, the verse that caps this whole story off, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Well, beloved, it could be today. It could be next week. It could be next year. It could be 10 years from now. We don't know. You don't know. We assume that we're going to have more days. We assume that we're going to have more time. Many, many people perish every single day on this earth. Just last week, Lake Victoria, which is about an hour from where I live, there was a ferry boat out on Lake Victoria that sunk, and 270 people lost their lives. They drowned there in Lake Victoria, and they thought they were going to their home on the shore from one point to another on this ferry, just as they'd done, I'm sure, for many, many years and many times. But this time they didn't make it. 270 of them drowned. And so that's just a typical day for people on the earth. Some people die in tornadoes. Some people die in squalls and hurricanes. Some people die in tsunamis. And so the point is this, just be ready. And when Jesus comes back, then you will have oil in your lamp and you will be ready to go. And you will be then ushered up with Jesus and all of the saints, all of the other saints who have oil in their lamp. You will be ushered up with them to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I'm going to close today with the scripture concerning the rapture that Paul spoke in 1 Thessalonians 4. To me, this is indisputable evidence, indisputable scripture to verify and validate the concept of the rapture. And so listen very carefully, because if anybody asks you about the rapture, you can tell them and take them to this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. Paul is telling the Thessalonican church, this is what's going to happen. This is the way it's going to happen. Verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Jesus those who sleep, or those who have died knowing Jesus, those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. All right, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So this is the way it's going to happen. The Lord's going to descend. He's going to shout. There will be the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God will blow. And then those who have already died, knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will rise first. They will go then in the resurrection, at the rapture. They will be taken up, caught up with Jesus. And then in verse 17, it says, then we who are alive and remain, that is those of us who are still alive at that point when Jesus comes back, those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so this is not the time when Jesus comes back and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. This is not the second coming for the millennial reign. This is the rapture. It says we're going to meet Jesus in the clouds. In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. He does not set his feet on the earth. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then Paul closes out this description of the rapture, and he says, therefore comfort one another with these words. And so I'm comforting you with these words. It's very comforting to know that you're going to be resurrected someday. If you're already passed on, if you've already died, your body, your resurrection body is going to be caught up, snatched up to meet the Lord in the air, and you're going to be taken to heaven. Your resurrection body will be taken to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you are still alive, as we are today, listening to this message, and Jesus comes back tonight, then those who are dead in Christ are going to go first, and then those of us who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with the Lord and we're going to meet him in the air, and all of us are going to go in order, in a particular order, as in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're going to go in an order, and then we're going to sit down in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb with Jesus and all the saints from all the past, all those saints who have accepted Jesus, who have called him Lord, who have feared the name of the Lord, and those of us who are alive and remain will sit down with them, and we will have a sumptuous banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there will be millions, if not billions and billions of people there, and those who have called upon the name of the Lord. And so that's the picture of the rapture. Jesus comes back with a shout, just as he did in Matthew 25, the parable of the virgins. He comes back with a shout, and he grabs the bride, and he takes the bride with him, and they go to consummate the marriage. Well, beloved, it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful concept. It's more than a concept. It's life itself. It's eternal life itself. And I pray that that is where you are today, that you're ready to go, that you're looking for that blessed hope, that hope that does not disappoint. And if you have not ever made the decision to accept Jesus, I urge you to do that today. Get down on your knees, confess your sins, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways. Say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I love you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. And Jesus will be faithful and true then to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, beloved, I appreciate you listening today. I thank you for your support, for your prayers for this ministry. I ask you to sit down and pray about your part in spreading the good news of the gospel in Africa. I'm going to Burundi in November to preach a crusade over in Bujumbura, the big capital city there, and the president of the country, yes, the president of the country and some other high officials are planning to attend the crusade. So it's going to be a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with some pretty influential people. And so I ask for your prayers. I ask for your support. Sit down, write out a check to Gather the Outcast. You can support children at a preschool that we are linked with here in Kenya, and support children at $20 per month. Or you might want to just partner with Gather the Outcast Ministry to help us push the gospel all over the nations of Africa. Well, stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.